Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 111 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. My name's Andy White and I'm with my co-host...
And your good friend as well, I like
and
to think.
And my good friend.
Kelvin Ewan. Hi, how's everybody doing? Now you can now
Kelvin,
speak.
They, if they you're can't on a answer back.
They can if they're on a train and there's full of people and they're listening on their headphones. Just tell us how you're feeling, you know. I'll give you a couple of seconds here to reply.
All of our listeners now, please do a Mexican wave wherever you are. Okay, it's another news and tools and three topics of interest. Well, we've actually got a couple of Facebook things, haven't we?
Yeah, two on Facebook.
Sorry, I will speak into the mic, that's better. Yeah. A couple of Facebook ones. What's the first one?
Yeah, well, Facebook have been changing, made a couple of changes to their commenting system. So like is kind of replace share. So the kind of result is that when you like something now, it includes a thumbnail and some metadata from Facebook's Open Graph protocol on Facebook. So that means if your website is liked, and it might appear in the news feed of someone. So if they go to your website, they go to Andy's website, hit like. They come to my website, they hit like. They go to the Coach House Inn and like it. There's bits that's going to appear there. So you... They're pulling bits in and when you appear on the news feed. So there's actually an opportunity to kind of optimize your website so that certain elements when someone likes your site appear in the news feed. So like which image they use, what fonts they use, which bit of text they use. So there's a tool from Facebook that they've created that kind of allows you to understand what gets pulled into the newsfeed and making sure that the keywords appear in the way you want them to and that headlines are written in a way that you get the most traffic. So if someone pulls your Facebook a blog post into Facebook, it defaults that it brings the title in a certain way, because you'll have seen that before, no doubt, when it kind of pulls in the text from a blog post and it's kind of like category page, and it doesn't actually pull in the proper headline of it. So there's some tools that they've been making available to kind of help you do that, so well worth exploring. I'll drop some links in the show notes to kind of explain that a bit more. But Facebook are making it easier for publishers to publish their content in such a way that it gets shared well on Facebook, gets shared in a nice way, in a nice format, which is good, because the fact is, for a huge number of publishers, Facebook is a real huge significant generator of traffic for them. So if you own a website that gets traffic from Facebook, or own a website that you'd like to get more traffic from Facebook, have a look at what happens when someone likes your page and what gets pulled into the news feed by default. Because it's not just Facebook marketing, it's not just about setting up a Facebook page and then using that. There's going to be content on your own website that people might want to share on Facebook. So to give you an example of how, in the past, I might have considered this, Andy, that, so my book, Clockwork Pirate, you get, if you like it on Facebook, you get you get access to the link, right? I wasn't looking to see what that default like looked like. Too many use of the words like there. But so I didn't know when someone liked, in inverted commas, and, shared my book on Facebook, what it would look like. Would it be an enticing headline that people would want to click through to? Would it pull an image through? Because if it's got an image, that helps. So there's the whole formula I don't think we talked about this before, Andy. Have you ever mentioned edge rank before?
Edge rank?
Yeah.
So no, this not is that
the,
I can remember.
This is the formula. In a future episode, I've got an interview I've just recorded with an expert on Facebook marketing. We expand on that a bit more, so I'll do a real quick version of it here. But basically, edge rank is the algorithm that that Facebook use to determine what's in your newsfeed. So it looks at proximity, so kind of affinity that you have with a person. Mm. So that's why if I comment on your newsfeed so I comment on the fact that you shared a photo of you, skiing, yeah, or I like the fact that you update your Facebook status saying you've gone for a beer, that type of thing. Therefore, I have a greater affinity to you in Facebook's eyes. So that's why people who you talk to on Facebook most often tend to appear in your newsfeed, and people who you don't talk to don't appear. So that's affinity. That's one aspect of it. Another one is the freshness. So how new is that content? So a new piece of content that's 10 minutes old is more likely to appear in your newsfeed than something that's 2 days old. So that's a factor in it. That makes perfect sense. It's a newsfeed. We all understand that. And then the final piece is the type of content. So certain pieces of content, like photos, are more likely to appear than you liking something. So if I join a group on Facebook, that's less likely to appear than if I put a picture of myself on holiday. And status updates are more likely to appear than is now friends with. And, things like changing in relationship status always go straight to the top of the pile. So basically, there's those three factors. And so if you're a brand trying to appear in a newsfeed, you need to be thinking about what you can do to influence those. So newness is how often can you add content, because you're rewarded by adding content more frequently, because the newer it is, the more likely it is to appear in someone's newsfeed. Next up is the affinity. So if you are maintaining a company profile, you should be commenting, liking, generally interacting with your audience, because then and trying to encourage them to do the same, because you want them to have a high affinity to you. So a perfect example of this is if you're a company, set up a status update on Facebook that asks people to contribute to it. So maybe like, tell us what you think of this, or, someone who comments on this status is going to win an iPad.
Yes.
Because getting that person to comment the first time then means that for a period of time afterwards, you're then more likely to appear in their newsfeed. So Facebook incentivizes you to have an engagement with your audience. Then the final one is understand the type of content that's most likely to appear. So if you're a business, put photos up as much as you possibly can, because they have a higher kind of score and therefore are more likely to appear in people's newsfeed. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
We're going to, we've got a future episode queued up with somebody who's a bit of a Facebook marketing expert, and we're going to it in a bit more detail, but hopefully that's a good introduction to it. Yeah, and another interesting sort of update to how Facebook are changing that's new and interesting. So they've kind of updated their comments plugin. Now, you can, it's possible if you have your own website to use Facebook's login system. So you have a Facebook-based comment system, in the same way as you could have an OpenID one. And the idea of that is that it makes it, you don't have to ask for personal details to get the person to comment on your site. Now, the changes now is that when users are logged into Facebook, they're able to comment on a site that has the Facebook plugin automatically, immediately. And that will then pull through information from their Facebook profile onto the site where they make a comment.
Right.
So that pulls through stuff like the commenter's name, what their work title is, the person's age, where they live, their picture that they've got as their profile picture, all that type of thing, depending on what you've got set in your privacy settings. So if you've got set not to share, then they wouldn't be shared. Mm-hmm. But that then means that if I set up the Facebook comment plugin on my site now, and someone is logged into Facebook, they leave a comment on my site, I get all kinds of nice information about them pulled from their Facebook profile. Really good for publishers, because you're getting more valuable comments, and people don't have to go and sign up to make a comment just on your site. They can use their Facebook login. But from Facebook's point of view, it's just more of a creep of them into kind of newer areas of the web, and generally kind of making Facebook your personal identity online. So it's not about your email. It's not about lots of different accounts. If Facebook owned that, they've got a bigger chunk of your online personality. So it's been around for a while, the kind of, Facebook Connect, they call it, comment functionality.
But I was going to ask if it had a name.
Facebook Connect, yeah. And, yeah. So it's just kind of, they've, souped it up, added some new features to it, and, you know, made it even more compelling for a publisher to include Facebook Connect as their comment system, rather than using OpenID or the Twitter-based one, which is another alternative.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is with Facebook at the moment, they've got such a sense of momentum that, you know, they're just, you know, we could do an episode every week on new things that, you know, Facebook have launched. And, you know, and by the time this goes out already, they will have launched even more stuff on top of that. But it's just really exciting. You know, whether Facebook are, some people think they're a bit of an evil company. I don't know. I don't have the kind of, you know, I've not watched The Social Network yet, so I've not seen the movie yet. But
me neither, actually.
But I've got it to watch maybe this weekend. But yeah, so I just think it's interesting. They're an exciting company. And I'm glad that there's someone who's as adventurous and as innovative and as, you know, has as big ideas as Google, because it's just not healthy if there's only one company doing all the exciting things, and it gets boring for podcast listeners as we only ever talk about Google.
Maybe we should do another podcast called the Facebook Marketing Podcast.
Bit of a spoonerism going on
there. Bit of a faux pas, a bit of a Freudian slip.
It's a spoonerism, isn't it, when you swap the first letters over with it?
I do it all the time. I do it on purpose.
Ah, there you go.
I do it on porpoise.
Oh, I'm here all week. Enjoy.
Sorry, that was my mistake. Bit of a Freudian slit.
Oh, dear.
And finally, I might have to edit that out, actually. No, but let's leave it in. Looped. Which,
yeah.
It sounds like it could be rude, but I'm sure it isn't.
No. It's so it's spelled L-O-O-P-T. Yeah.
Yes, okay.
So it's a new location-based service that will alert users of nearby deals or rewards, and it's kind of launching at South by Southwest. So the logic is, you know, everyone loves a good elevator pitch, and the elevator pitch is what happens if you cross Groupon, so the, you know, the deal site, with Foursquare. So Foursquare, you log in. So the idea is I can turn on my iPhone, go to the Looped app and see, well, I'm 2 minutes away from this sandwich shop that will give me 25% off if I go in today. Or, you know, this hotel has free Wi-Fi, you know, and really interesting, exciting, and kind of, a, you know, I think what will probably happen is you get the Facebook deals at the moment, which is a similar kind of concept. But, you know, it's really exciting to see this kind of location deals, apps, all coming together in the way that we all thought it would, but it's actually now starting to happen. The services that actually allow you to promote your business in that way, shape, or form. So what's exciting for me is that if you're a local business owner, which I know many of the listeners to the podcast are, you know, your business relies on people actually walk, you know, you might promote yourself online, but at the end of the day, a sale's made when someone crosses your front door and comes into your premises.
And buys something.
And once they do that, that's when you make money. Now, it's interesting here that there's a different way of kind of getting people to it, you know, and it's all about mobile. It's all about proximity, GPS, and increasingly, it's all about deals. So Groupon, if you've not come across them before, huge company, huge valuation. You know, you sign up for a mail, you say which city you're in, you get some offers where you buy a voucher that gets you, a service or product of greater value than the amount you paid for it. Hugely popular, doing amazingly well. So that's a huge, you know, huge growth, huge exciting business operating there. You've got Foursquare where you're checking in on your phone saying, I'm in this location. Loop just seems to be a very obvious connection between it. Facebook deals, similar. No, all my friends use Facebook. Very few of them use Facebook Places. This, I think, Looped perhaps is one of those services that will grow quite nicely, maybe be acquired by someone in the future. Launching at South by Southwest, which was historically where Twitter first really took off. So if they can kind of work in a similar way there, really make a big splash, who knows, in a couple of months' time, we might be talking about them as much as we do some of the other services that we mention all the time on the site.
And presumably, Calvin, this is going to be a combination of website plus apps?
Yeah, I think it's all about kind of, yeah, app-driven. That, you know, that's the way that it seems to be on mobile that people are operating. Really interesting, because the whole rise of HTML5 on the desktop, the laptop-based computer, did seem to suggest that there was less need for applications than perhaps there previously was. Whereas on the phone, you know, so on the iPhone, on the Android, on the, you know, Nokia, you know, platforms, on Windows 7 mobile, it seems to be going in very much the opposite direction. So yeah, it's exciting times.
Yeah, there were some very interesting statistics, actually, and I forget the specific numbers, but it was the amount of data that is moving through apps versus the amount of data moving through the browser on mobile devices, and it's, I think it's mainly apps at the moment.
Yeah. Well, and it makes perfect sense. So how do I consume content on my mobile? There's like, basically, there's only really three applications I use that religiously on my iPhone that kind of need a net connection. Twitter. So I've used Twitterific, and I've recently moved to the Twitter official client. I still haven't decided if I prefer it over Twitterific. So that's an app. There's Spotify. That's an app. That's all the data moving through that. And then I use Safari. But I only use, and Mail. Mail being the fourth one.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mail is essentially an app. So I'm using Gmail, but I'm not actually going on the Gmail website. I'm using the app for it. So yeah, it's, you know, it makes sense. But it's because those programs are very much specific, and they're, you know, they've got nothing more or nothing less. And yeah, perfectly well designed for the need that they use. And that's before you start getting into things like Angry Birds and that whole world.
Don't get me started on Angry Birds.
Does it make you an Angry Bird, Andy?
No. I'm addicted to it. Okay, let's end the podcast there. It's goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
And we'll see you next time. Have a great week. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.